Welcome to episode 556 of Salcedo Paranormal. I'm your host, James Salcedo, and tonight I am talking about haunted places in the U.S. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal. Podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Also, I should mention too, if you have been on the show to talk about experiences before and you have more that you'd like to share, I just recently had a friend contact me about that. You're welcome to do that, to still let me know, and be happy to have you back on the show again. So just want to mention that again. As always, I want to thank, I'm sorry, I got everything out of order. Thank you all for listening. There we go. Whether you're here for the live streams on Discord, or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds, or if you listen on the Troubled Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting, and there you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Troubled Minds Radio comes on. And as always, I want to thank Michael Strange for having me on the network and having and posting my shows there as well. And of course, that is he is the host of Troubled Minds Radio. So. If you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platforms. You can find books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction, over on Amazon. You can also sign up to the Patreon page at any paid tier level there and get one extra episode per month whenever I am able to do that. I try to do that most months. That's a True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode. Or you can just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And so that takes care of all that. I recently, just tonight actually, figured out, I think, what will be a better way to do these haunted places shows, because what I was finding was all the images and open spaces and ads and everything in the articles I was using, they were just slowing me down way too much. And so hopefully this all goes better tonight. I basically just took all the text out of those pages, copied and pasted, and took all the text out and deleted everything that didn't make sense to read or to look at, and hopefully that will work better. So we're still in Alabama, but we only have about four or five more locations to cover, and then I'll move on to another state. And I actually have a couple of hotels here for tonight's show that we'll be talking about here. And this first article, it's from onlyinyourstate.com. And the title of the article is "You'll Never Forget Your Stay at the Most Haunted Hotel in Alabama." Now, let me see, is that run? I think it's that one, yeah, okay. And of course, this is about the St. James Hotel. It's located in the historic district of Selma, Alabama. And it's believed to be one of the most haunted hotels in Alabama. Of course, as you've heard me say on shows before, that's always a claim a lot of places make, and it's hard to know for sure how to take that. But apparently many people there, including local residents and other guests, have reported paranormal activity that have and events that have taken place both inside and outside of the hotel. So that's always amazing when you have things going on basically across the whole property. It was built in 1837, according to this article, and it's one of the oldest operating facilities, hotels in the state. And when it was first made or constructed, it was referred to as the Brantley. Brantley. It says in the article here, during the earlier days, the hotel was a luxury hotel, basically, visited by many wealthy individuals as they passed through town, needing a place to stay for the night. Of course, it says when the Civil War was going on, soldiers used the Brantley as a place to stay and to discuss strategies. And then when the Battle of Selma, it has in quotation marks there, took place, the entire town was nearly burned to the ground, pretty much burned to the ground, it says here. But the this building, the Brantley, which became the St. James Hotel later on, was still standing. When the war ended, a man named Benjamin Sterling Tower became the owner of the hotel. And not long after he took ownership of the place in 1881, a group of outlaws led by Jesse James, a famous Wild West kind of figure. I'm not sure if that's still Wild West at that point or not, but anyway, stopped by the Brantley to stay the night. So they're basically just pointing out some historic figures that have been there. In 1892, due to financial problems, the Brantley closed down. And it remained closed for an entire century. But then in the early 1990s, it was restored by a group of individuals. And then in 97, it was reopened. And it's been known since then as the St. James Hotel. So let's see here. It says, since it reopened at that time, several guests have reported seeing the spirits of Jesse James and his girlfriend, Lucinda, at the location. There's also a man fully dressed in clothing from the 1800s has been spotted in the actual rooms that he stayed in. So that's, I guess, that's why they think it was him, possibly, including rooms 214, 314, and 315. It says that Lucinda loved the scent of lavender. And whenever guests picked up this scent coming from nowhere, they felt that that was her nearby. She's also been seen, supposedly, walking down the hotel hallways. So let's see here. Also, the reporting report activity is goes as follows here. Let's see here. There's some activity in the courtyard of the hotel. Apparently, there have been several apparitions of or basically people wearing clothes from the 1800s. So just random apparitions of people walking around the area. There's also the sound of a barking dog that comes from the courtyard. And, of course, they connect this to a dog that was owned by Jesse James. You see, it said that this ghost dog is the one. I just repeated that. Anyway, it says guests sometimes complain about the barking coming from the courtyard, but then when management checks, of course, there's nothing there. So there's also been a dog reported running up and down the hotel hallways. So, and again, of course, whenever management checks out the hallways, by that time, the dog has vanished. So, let me see, going on to the rest of this here. It says that eventually all these reports of activity started to spread throughout the area, which caused paranormal investigators to come and see what they could find. And so checking out the rest of this here. Now, so yeah, that doesn't go into much more after that about what they found, but that is somewhat common I'm finding in some of these articles here. Unless it's like a big name or there's sort of a show or documentary attached to it. They won't, some of these articles won't always talk much about what was found. But so that's the first article I had for today. I think that went a lot better already. So definitely be doing this from now on. But it sounds like a lot of typical hotel stuff. Apparitions and sounds and all those kinds of things. Of course, it sounds like they're equating a lot or attributing a lot of it to Jesse James when he was staying there. I always wonder, though, unless they have an actual description of the figure and the that they've seen, and then they know what he looked like, how do they know it was him? But I can understand why they'd be interested in sort of having those two, having that kind of figure just associated with the hotel now, sort of help with everything, the tourism and all that. So, yeah, Jeff in the chat there, hello, says, think about all the different energies that go in and out of a hotel. Yeah, they seem to just, so many of them out there seem to have activity in them. And usually what seems to happen is they either, the owners or the management want to have that well known, have that known, and use that sort of as a perk of staying there, as a selling point, while others, they don't want that to be, they don't want to be associated with that. So that's why you hear about some places, you don't hear about the anything going on in the hotel from anyone that stays or that works in the hotel until either they're out not working there anymore, or until they sort of just make accounts online and on websites, and they don't use their name, but they talk about, yeah, I worked at this location and here's what happened there. So that's definitely a common thing I've noticed over the years, finding accounts of experiences. I've found more than a few that have been posted online that talk about activity in places. But of course they don't give their name, because maybe they're still working there in some cases. So anyway, I will go into the other article I found on this location. It's a shorter one. This is from frightfind.com. And it says, so let me see here. It gives the, doesn't really have a title as far as for the article. I think it just says St. James Hotel, Alabama. And so it talks about it, again, being one of the most haunted places in the state. It was abandoned for 100 years, as the first article mentioned, before it reopened in 1997. Apparitions walk the halls, and ghost dogs can be heard barking around the premises. So they're saying, it sounds like they're saying even more than just the courtyard. I wonder about that. It says in the 19th century, it was basically, again, a high society hotel, known as the Brantley at the time. And during the Civil War, it housed Union troops. Now, the first article didn't say which side it housed, but I don't think, but this one did. So it also was one of the few buildings, again, to survive the burning of the town by Union forces, according to this article here. It was then taken over by the town's first African-American mayor, and later the first African-American to be elected to Congress, Benjamin Sterling Turner. They had Tower in the first article. Not sure what the difference is there. But it says during that time, the famous outlaw and gunslinger Jesse James and his group and his brother basically were among the hotel guests. So goes into more talking about this, those apparitions, and pretty much talks about the same things here. Jesse James was hosted by the St. James Hotel in 1881 before the hotel again started to shut down in near the end of the 1800s there. And so Jesse James's ghost has been seen in several hotel rooms and even hallways, along with his girlfriend, Lucinda. He's often seen on the second and third floor, and even sometimes at a table in the bar. There's mentions again the smell of Lucinda's, I guess, perfume, which is lavender, that accompanies her appearance as well. Sometimes people don't see her, but they just smell that scent, apparently, in the area. And let's see here. Other spirits have been seen wearing 19th century clothing, and they appear to be enacting a long-ago party scene in the courtyard, so that's what was going on there. That is not uncommon either in places where, when there was events like that, parties of a lot of energy and things like that going on, those kinds of things, I'm not sure if it's residual energy or if they're just back there visiting or what, but those kind of scenes are reported in some places. Paranormal investigators have been to the hotel and reported basically these presences. Some of these presences, it says that the entities there are peaceful, and so that's always nice, and guests are, and then sometimes guests are lucky enough to see them. Mentions the three rooms I mentioned in the first article there, associated with Jesse James. The hallways also, though, are there's apparitions there of both Lucinda, and I like I said, the first article talks about the dog as well. And let me see here. Talks about the courtyard again. So, yeah, that's basically it for that one. So, yeah, neat article there. A couple articles there talking about that location. And so going back to chat here from Jeff, it seems that some people even carry an energy with them. And then if thinking and talking about certain things may create that certain thing in a hotel with all the different visitors, it ups the chances. Yeah, definitely possible. So, I was really sad. The only hotel I ever stayed in, I didn't feel anything. It was I'm pretty sure it was a modern build, and I didn't sense or feel anything other than having that feeling of having visited one of the like lounge areas in a dream years before I went there in person. Had that again. So that was really amazing. But again, who knows? I mean, there's an idea. I wonder how often some of the apparitions in some of these places, especially maybe even like in modern places, how often it's people that are just astral projecting out of body experiences. And I wonder how often they end up going back there. If it's a place that they have a lot of memories of, the place being having a lot of fun there, how often they end up going back there in their dreams. So I can see that as well. I still wonder about that. How often, when you're in the location, what you're seeing, how often is it a spirit of someone that passed, and how often is it just people that are astral projecting and visiting in their sleep? That's neat there. Jeff in the chat, I says, I have a lot of vivid dreams of involving creepy old hotel lobbies. Wow. Yeah. Yep. I had a dream once of a restaurant, being in a restaurant, but everything was closed down, and there were only like really dim lights. And then years later, went to this restaurant in a completely different part of the state that I'd never been to before. And walked in and was like, oh, yeah, I was here in a dream one time. Yeah, so those kinds of things are really amazing. So I don't think we're going to get to another location this episode because we only have like about four minutes left. But yeah, it really is amazing. I do wonder, like I said, and there's so much energy. There's so many people coming and going. There's so many things that happen in hotels. Both good and bad, all those different things. So much tension. I mean, I know when I was the one time I stayed in a hotel, I was nervous because I'd never done that before. And I mean, eventually I relaxed, and because I was exhausted and fell asleep and everything was fine. But it was still weird. It was still weird being in a place where I could hear everyone moving around sort of in their rooms around me because of my ears the way they are. And I'm sure the walls were not super thick. It was fine, but still strange. And I can imagine in a place that's maybe older, a lot older, you might be able to pick up on some things, even if nothing happens. So yeah, the next location we'll talk about next time is another hotel. As I said, I thought we were going to get through two places, but, there was so much here to go through. The next one is the Redmont Hotel in, Birmingham, Alabama. And just a quick bit on that. This is a preview. Guests have reported, this is from AI, just looking at things up online for me, have reported apparitions and strange noises and other unexplained events at that hotel. So, again, very similar thing. I think we could probably look at any number of hotels in any state, other countries as well, if there wasn't somewhat of a language barrier, and get similar things and reports going on there. And that's another reason why I'm not, again, doing a ton of places in each state, because I don't think we need to after all, as I originally thought. Hopefully you all, that worked for you all as far as the format of this show and the reading and everything, worked better. I liked it better, myself. So, we'll cover the Redmont Hotel next time, and I'll make sure I have another location set up to read about after that in case that one is quicker. And we'll keep doing that, getting through those in these episodes. And I think another couple episodes, the Haunted Places in the U.S. episodes, we'll be done with Alabama and move on to Alaska. And that'll be good. I'm not sure what we'll do eventually once we get through this whole series. I mean, it's still going to be a while. 50 states and all that. But we'll figure out something. Maybe I'll just add more book review shows. One more book review show and one more True Paranormal Stories on the Web show each week. So I wouldn't mind doing that. This is fun too, but again, I could spend all the shows picking locations and talking about them. And in the end, the reports would all be similar. But I think the fun part is hearing about who was there and who people think is possibly still there, and all those things. Again, historic figures and all that. And just getting brief summaries of the history of the locations. I'm thinking maybe I might also look up history of these locations as I for these places as well, like one article about the history. Not counting any of the paranormal stuff might be good. I think I'll try to do that from now on too. And so obviously learning as I go here. And thank you all for being here with me and being patient as I do that. And so thank you all for listening. And talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.